Good morning. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to ask you to take a moment to turn around and say greet people next to you. Someone might be here for the first time this morning. Why don't you take a few moments to say hello and welcome them? Great. Thank you, everyone. We might just continue the service. But hopefully, as I look around, there's some people that I don't know as well as others. Sometimes maybe people are here for the first time or second or third. And it's a great opportunity as we worship together to take time to get to know each other. Don't assume the person sitting next to you has necessarily been at this church for a long time. Never assume that. Assume if you don't know them by name, say hello and introduce yourself. After the service, we do have morning tea together. We hope you can stay for that and encourage each other on this day. We wanted to let you know about some upcoming events and some needs for you to pray for. Firstly, praise God that we raised over $45,000 for the Main Mission of Pearl. So we thank God for that. So thank you for donating that, an extra $910. But if you look below that, we were only $10,000 behind offering 2 weeks ago. In the last 2 weeks, we're another $9,000 behind offering. So the last two, the big storms last week, people away. And so one of the things we're encouraging our people to do is be faithful, consistent, and in their giving to the ministry. And so I would assume normally if we're able to meet budget in February and March, then we're able to continue to do that because God's people just give systematically and to God's work each week. So I don't always understand how these things work. And there's sometimes no rhyme or reason, but we're just alerting you to that from the treasurer saying at this stage significantly behind in that budget. That's about a week and a day behind our budget. And if you are able to give more to help alleviate that, that would be a great help. Moving beyond that to special outreach events, the Flourish Outreach Dinner is this Thursday. If you hadn't booked in, book in your tickets today and come along to that Thursday night, 7 o'clock, $30. The Holiday Club. I'm not sure whether we're full yet. People book now online. We're almost getting close to full. And we still need some group leaders, Robin Garlick tells me. We need 4 men, 2 women to work with the small groups. 4 men, 2 women. And so if you can help us in that, that would be great. Colin prayed for Robin. Robin has had pneumonia for 2 weeks. Has been in meant to be home. Bed rest. She has been working from her bed, as she does, but and she's been put on more antibiotics last Friday when she saw a doctor, and then last night she took Ian to hospital having some vertigo. She said this morning he wasn't able to open his eyes and focus. A lot of the room sort of keeps spinning, and so they're doing a variety of tests for him. He's at Sutherland Hospital at the moment. So please pray for them, and their daughter Amanda's had tonsillitis, a second bout of that, and they have a daughter who's doing a 6 weeks placement in Dubbo at the moment for work. So pray for healing, deliverance, whatever you want to pray, that God would restore them at this stage because it's a very difficult time, 3 weeks out from Holiday Club as well. In terms of Holiday Club, we also need food for Holiday Club, and many of you bake things and bring them for our Holiday Club. Remembering, we're feeding 350 people every day for 5 days and the family night on the Friday night. And don't forget, when you bake cakes and slices, they must be nut-free, okay? So no nuts. And see Robin about that and let us know what you're able to contribute. Primetime are off to the Carefly tour this Wednesday. I'll be off with the Primetime again. Looking forward to that this coming Wednesday. We hope you can join us. We still have places available for that. But also the next big Christmas in July event for Primetime, always a big one, heading down to Berry on the south coast. Beautiful Christmas lunch and event, beautiful part of the world. You can also book in to that today. We've only booked one bus this year, not two, so you need to get in early to confirm your seat for that special event. And I'll be sharing the gospel at that event, so that's something else you can bring a friend along to as well. Dads and Friends State of Origin night in a couple of weeks, details on your bulletins about that. But the families and friends the weekend away, Sean tells me today's meant to be the day you need to confirm whether you are going to that. So younger families with kids, about 60 went last year. I think we've only about 20 have booked in so far this year. I know the storms are, a lot of people were away last week and some people are away today being the long weekend. But if you could let Sean know today, that will be a great help in their planning. Morning services, welcome as team training at the 26th of June at 2 p.m. Put that in your diaries. If you'd like to join our welcoming team, we'd love to have you join it. And I'm especially looking for extra people in their 30s and their 40s, with younger children, high school children, to be part of that network of welcoming and to be able to connect up with the different people that God brings to this church as well. And let us know if you can be part of that. And finally, our soup kitchen is starting up again tonight. This is a partnership of Riverwood Presbyterian and RWE Baptist down at the Riverwood Presbyterian Church Hall on Belmore Road, Riverwood. You can contribute some soup. You can offer to make soup for the night. You can offer to come and work and meet the locals who come along to that opportunity to love them and to share Christ with them. So see Gary Lau if you'd like to be a part of that. Let me pray and then we'll take up the offering. Oh, sorry, just before I pray, just to let you know, some of you will know Colin Hester from Prime Time and Creative Craft. He and his wife Pat have been coming for many years, and Colin passed away on Friday morning, and so his funeral is likely to be Monday week, not tomorrow, but the following Monday, but we'll confirm details during the week about that for those who know them as well. Father God, thank you for this partnership we have in the gospel. Lord, taking the gospel to others, supporting mission, encouraging one another through Bible study groups, through outreach activities right here. And Lord, we understand that that all costs money to do all of that. We thank you, Lord, for the generosity of your people in this church over 60 years. And Lord, we ask that you would enable us to give cheerfully, generously, and that we would meet our budget needs, that we would fund all the ministries that you've called us to, seeking your glory in all things. And so we bring our offerings to you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Colossians. Paul writes to Colossians in the third chapter, said, "So set your minds on things that are above, our affections on things that belong to God, not on the things of the earth." And then he said, you know, you've died and your life is buried in Christ, but Christ is your life. In that fourth verse, he says that. So we're thinking today about those 10 things to be or to do. Jesus is all to us. As we receive our offering this morning, will you stand with us to sing "All to Us"?
Son of God, sent from heaven. church, let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. Yes, you are.
This morning's Bible reading is found in Acts. It's chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And for those who follow on in the Pew Bibles, it's page 772. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs, wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and everyone. Praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Friends, every year heading into the June long weekend, I stop, I reflect, and I pray. It's a rhythm in my life that I find helpful. While others rejoice in the day off, and I'm looking forward to the day off tomorrow as well, especially in this beautiful weather, for me it's a chance to reflect on my call to pastor this church and what that means and what is it that should drive me and what is it that should drive us arising out of the Word of God and God's truth. I do it heading into this weekend, long weekend, because I was inducted as senior pastor of this church on the June long weekend in 1997. And so today, in my mind, although most people, it wouldn't even enter your mind, and it shouldn't necessarily enter your mind, as I have my relationship with God and as I say, God, what do you want to do next? What do you want to do in my life? I'm very conscious that today I begin a 20th year of ministry amongst you by the grace of God. And it's a delightful thing and a joyous thing to be doing that and to still want to be here and doing God's work. And so as I was thinking and praying and I made a couple of changes a week ago when I went to John 4 and skipped a passage, I thought, what do I say this weekend? And so 10 things, it's not going to be a long sermon, but 10 things that I think are valuable for you and for me. And it drives me. The first thing is, it's all by grace. And you'll have that outline with those 10 things. It's all by grace. These verses, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. grace is amazing, and these verses changed my life as a teenager. I'd grown up in a religious system, in a religious church that taught me that Jesus' death was not enough. I needed to add my works to the works of Jesus, and hopefully that I'd done enough that when I met God on Judgment Day, he would let me into his heaven. When I came to understand the scriptures, that salvation is by God's grace through faith alone, it's not from myself, it's not my works, very clearly in verse 9, so that no one can boast, it revolutionized my thinking of Christianity, my thinking of Jesus, my relationship with him, and I made a decision to become a Christian when I was 15. And you need to be aware that no other religious system teaches this truth. Islam does not teach it, Buddhism does not teach it, Hinduism does not teach it. No other religious system in this world belief teaches this truth that it's all by grace. We get from God because he is generous towards us. He shows us his favor even though we don't deserve it. Friends, we have a message that no one understands or has in their own religious system. The Apostle Paul said about his own life, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." He's talking about his salvation and his apostleship. Both of them, he says, by grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work for it. I didn't own it. I didn't earn it. God gave it to me. And I like this expression. Grace is the divine initiative of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. God takes the initiative. But grace is also the dynamic stimulus. This grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. The grace of God does not simply save you. The grace of God is the dynamic stimulus to bring change into your life. So when you get saved by the grace of God, God doesn't just leave you like that. He starts to effect change in you, your heart, your passions, your desires, your dreams, and what you want to do with your life and how you want to live it. He affects change. And you invest your lives in the work of the kingdom. True grace results in good works. And grace is the daily enabling, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. In case anyone would think, well, Paul, you're better than the other Christians, you worked harder. He said, no, even in my working, it is the grace of God. Through the word of God, the spirit of God, the power of God, God's grace is at work. Secondly, we are meant to live for God's glory, not ours. And the kids' talk picked up on this. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Our focus is not ourselves, but God and his greatness. And we want to seek to deflect all glory to him. We want people to see that he's worthy of worship, that he's loving, he is just, he is righteous, and that we want to encounter him. And so I want to live to magnify and glorify God. I want to preach. I want to feed the poor. I want to pray for the sick. I want to evangelize the lost so that people would see how great and glorious God is and they fall on their knees before him to worship him. Amen? That's what we need to be living for, in such a way as people go, wow, you're God, you're Jesus. There's nothing like the him. And they come to him. So I want my daughters to see that I live for him. I want them to live for him. And I want this church to say that I live for him, that you live for him too. And friends, we don't need our name in bright lights. We don't need thousands of followers on Facebook. We don't need recognition in the media. We just need to live for God's glory and God will do the rest. If we are passionate about loving God and following him, God will do the rest. And so I ask myself today, do I work and play and eat and drink and talk and listen and love and give and serve to the glory of God, or do I do it for myself? And if I live for the glory of God, are others captured by that same vision? I hope you are. Thirdly, boast in Christ, the blazing center of the glory of God. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him. This is Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Friends, there was enmity, there was war between humanity and God, and Jesus made peace through his own death on that cross. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. My boast is not in myself. My boast is not in my achievements. My boast is not in the growth of this church. My boast is in Jesus and his death and resurrection. Amen. That's him. That's what we boast in. For me to live is Christ, he says, and to die is gain. Paul says, I live for Christ. I live for Christ. And if I die, I go to be with Christ, which is gain. It's about Christ. He is central to everything. We are Christ-centered disciples. We are called to be that. And Philippians 3, 7 to 11, one of my favorite passages, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was talking about his religious credentials as a Jew. He had already listed them. I consider them a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He says, in comparison to Jesus, everything is like a loss. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection, the participation in his sufferings. Not just the power of the resurrection, but participation in his sufferings, willing to endure it for the glory of God, because we boast in Jesus, suffer persecution and opposition, even death for the gospel, becoming like him in his death. So somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do I really believe that the excellency of knowing Christ is better than that holiday, better than that new home, better than that new car, better than wealth and affluence? Do I really believe knowing Christ is far superior, far more excellent, far more glorious than those things that the world says I need and I should love? How about you? Fourthly, people are lost and need to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, locally and globally. This truth has to move us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved, he gave. If you believe, you have life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, they are verses that I share at the funerals I do. And by the way, there are another two. One on Tuesday, I'll be doing a funeral on Tuesday, and then the next one on the following Monday. But at that opportunities I have at those funerals, sometimes believers, sometimes not believers, I declare the truth of the gospel. The people are lost without Christ, and Christ is a great Saviour. And the only way to be certain of eternal life is to come to him. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Not only is Jesus the only way to God, but God then gives us a power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Friends, a young teacher shared the gospel with me when I was 14 and I was saved at 15. I then, moved by the gospel, shared it with friends at Enmore Boys High School, at the Marrickville Soccer Club, at the local tennis club where I played, at the Sydney Teachers College, where I was involved for 4 years doing my teaching degree, involved with the Christian Fellowship Group on campus. At Marrickville High, where I taught for 7 years, running, not only sharing the gospel one-on-one, but running ICF camps, running ICF each week, running outreach concerts and so on. And then through Dulwich Hill Baptist Church, Ashfield Baptist Church, Springwood Baptist Church, and through this church now for 19 years, publicly and privately. Because Jesus is the only way of salvation and people are lost. I remember leading the first person, or helping lead a person to Christ, a schoolmate. I remember Vic, he was 16 years of age and I was 15 or 16. And I was telling him about Jesus. He said, you know, I'm religious too. And just to see him understand that gospel for the first time. And I prayed with him. I didn't know what I was doing. I said, well, I think you've got to pray this prayer, right? And if you believe this, you've got to pray a prayer and then put Jesus first in your life. I'm 15 or 16. We're the same. He says, all right. I said, just pray after me, will you? And I pray this and he prays this and he gives his life to Jesus. Nothing more exciting than that.
And I caught up with him just last year when I was on the Gold Coast. He's retired to the Gold Coast. He's my age and retired. What is he thinking? And just during Alpha, we had two people out of the 10 of us completely unchurched, just came. It's all new, this message, sharing that gospel with them so they would come to understand the gospel. Others were just consolidating their faith in Christ. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? That's why we support missions and missionaries in Australia and overseas. Because people are lost and Jesus is the only way of salvation. Fifthly, a Bible-soaked, disciple-making church. You know, the early converts in the book of Acts that had read to us devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They realized that God had spoken, and if you're going to hear the voice of God, you need to hear the apostles' teaching. And they taught the scriptures, and they taught the teaching of Jesus, and we have a record of that in our Bibles. And so we need to be men and women who are hungry to hear the voice of God, and we hear the voice of God in the Word of God, because God has spoken. And so we encourage people to come to church and bring their Bibles, bring a pen, bring a notepad, and jot down what God is saying to you in the Word. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. I must say, I remember, and I kept a copy of this letter. Sometimes people write nice letters to you, sometimes they don't, but I keep the nice ones. And because you can imagine over 19 years, you get a variety, right? Some you wish you never got. But you have to endure suffering too, right? One person said this: I would like to say the 2.5 years that I spent at Ngawi Baptist Church were the most fulfilling of my life. I give thanks to Christ for his blessings to me during that time, for the pastors, deacons, and congregation who were so devoted to his word. Isn't that lovely to get it from someone? I said, I just came, I had to move to another part of the world, or part of Australia. So I just want to let you know, I loved this place. I grew in this place. It was the most fulfilling time of my life. Not everyone has that experience. That's why you hold on to those. Because that's what we're seeking to do under God. And the larger we become, the smaller we must become. That's why we run home groups. The larger, the more people in the place. You can't know everyone deeply. And we want people in small groups to study the Bibles. Study the Bible. Get to know one another and encourage one another. We need to be a church that exhibits Christ-like sacrificial love. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. One writer called it the final apologetic, the final defense of the faith, is the love of Christians one for another. People from the outside look in and think, wow, Jesus is there. And friends, that is what we are seeking to create under God, a church where people come and experience relationships and friendships where they think Jesus is there. Someone outside, someone supernatural is working in this place. That's why welcoming is so vital in this church. That as people come, visitors come for the first time, the second time, we meet them, we greet them, and we take them out with us. We share that all of us are on the lookout for new people, to engage them, to encourage them. All of us are on the lookout for others you may not know very well, to invite them to your small group, or to invite them out for lunch or for coffee. All of us need to be doing that work of welcoming. And part of that is the work of hospitality. If we are loving, we are hospitable to one another. We eat together, we share lives together. We meet in home groups because home groups are not simply to study the scriptures. They are there to pray and support one another, to encourage each other in ministry and mission, to be accountable, to face correction. We do it together. That's why pastoral care and visitation is so crucial. Visiting the sick at home, in hospitals, following up those who have lost loved ones, helping those in the midst of marriage breakups, helping those with depression or other mental illness. Love ought to be exhibited in the church in powerful ways. 7, life is precarious and life is precious. Don't presume that you will have it tomorrow and don't waste it today. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. You and I have no idea how long we have to live. A couple of weeks ago, I did a funeral for a man who was just going to work as normal, had a heart attack at the age of 60. Get phone calls of car accidents, someone that you know or a friend been in a car accident has passed away at the age of 15. My feeling is I presume I'm going to live to 95. How about you? I live as if I presume I'll live to 95. And there are some good 95, healthy 95-year-olds in this church, and they are great, great people to aspire to be like. But friends, I have no idea that I'll survive another day or two, or another week, or a month. I need to realise life is precarious. Wars and car accidents and cancer and heart attacks and murder and persecution. And there's a poem that C.T. Studd, the missionary to Africa, India and China, a famous British cricketer, wrote. It has about five or six verses. I don't want to read all of it, but I want to read a few of the verses. And it finishes with the lines, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." There's more to the poem than simply that refrain. It says this: "Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'll let my love with fervour burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I turned 55 later this year. Some of you laugh and say how young you are. And some of you look at me and say how old you are. In the world's terms, it's a decade off retirement. Well, by the time I get to retirement, 67, maybe I've got 12 years. I also believe that in one sense there's no retirement in God's work and ministry, that we live with every breath we have for the glory of God. And we don't waste a moment, we don't waste a week, we don't waste a year. And we don't waste retirement, but we use it for God's glory. Eighth, God can turn evil and suffering for good. So much suffering takes place in this fallen, broken world. Turn on a television set, go to your iPad, go to your phone, and you just see calamity after calamity, suffering after suffering. For the Christian, God says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God promises listen carefully, to work in all circumstances to make us more like Jesus. Got to take Romans 8, 28 and 29 together. The good that God effects in us through all circumstances and in all things is to make us like Jesus. So God can take a broken relationship. God can take a loss of finances. God can take inner turmoil, even depression. God can take it and turn it in such a way that he makes us more like Jesus through it. Friends, the most godly people I know are those who have endured suffering, immense suffering, and have trusted God in the midst of that, have been sustained by the grace of God in the midst of that, and are powering on for God and have a powerful testimony to the grace and the power of God for transformation. Jesus suffered and died. I should expect no less in God's purpose of making me more like Christ. So I am never surprised. Let me say this to you. I am never surprised when someone commits adultery. Because I know the sinfulness of people, I'm never surprised when someone drives too fast and causes an accident. I'm never surprised if someone dies of a heart attack. We live in a world that we see what happens. We know what this world is like. But I'm always confident that when we turn back to God, he can take our failings, our mistakes, and the sufferings that just come outside of us to make us more like his son Jesus. Because we are men and women who live in light of eternity. That's where we're going. To live is Christ, to die is gain. God can turn it for good. But if we're going to endure in those times, we must express our God dependency through prayer. Those early disciples said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. When I force myself, and let me say, sometimes I must force myself to stop and pray. Are you like me? You just do things, right? We think we can do everything. We don't need God. We have money. We have influence. We have cars. We're bright. We're intelligent. We think we can do it without God, right? But we realize when we stop and go to prayer that transformation of people's lives is a spiritual work. Transformation in your life is a spiritual work. And it's only as we call upon God to work that we see him work most powerfully in our lives and in the lives of others. Prayers of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, petition. The early church were devoted to prayer. So now when I pray each morning, I have my Bible and I have my diary with me. I walk into the coffee shop with my big diary, all my notes, the prayer list with a master list that Pastor Philip handed over to me a few months ago. And that's quite larger now. And I've created my own sort of list of who's sick, who's in hospital, who to pray for, who the missionaries are. And after I read my Bible and pray, and I'm reading the Bible through in a year again, and I'm on target by the grace of God, and because I want to immerse myself in the Word, I then work through and just pray and pray and pray for the blessing of God upon these people, for the deliverance, for healing, for salvation of people. And we need to do that. And I love these words by John Piper. I was challenged by him many years ago when I was not praying enough. And that happens like every few weeks. I'm not praying enough. You like me? You pray well for a while and you get lazy and get distracted. He says this. One of the reasons we pray is that God acts when we pray. And God can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 years. How I've learned this over the years. What an amazing thing to bow my head repeatedly and plead with God during sermon preparation or during some counseling crisis or some witnessing conversation or some planning meeting and to have breakthrough after breakthrough which did not come until I prayed. Not just sharing our ideas, let's stop and call upon God to pray. What an important lesson to feel fretful and eager to get to work immediately. Because I have so much to do, I don't know how I can get it all done, but to force myself to be biblical and reasonable and take time to get on my knees to pray before I work. And while on my knees, to have ideas tumble to my mind for how to handle a problem or shape a message or deal with a crisis or solve a theological problem, and so to save myself hours and hours of work and the frustration of beating my head against the wall trying to figure out what came in 5 seconds off illumination. Oh, how many times I've experienced that myself. I go on my walks for an hour or two, clear my head and talk to God. All of a sudden, idea after idea after idea. I think, and I take my phone with me. This is what, and when I pray, because I'll forget, because I'm like that. Right? I'm 55 almost now. And I forget things. I've been forgetting for a long time. And I have an area in here and it's like my notes. New idea. And I stop walking and I'm a one finger typist, right? Still. And I'm doing this, and people are looking at me, man, this guy, no, you need to do this. But I'm doing this, right? It doesn't matter. It still gets in, right? Might be slow. It still gets into my phone. And I just write it down, and I come back. Because as you pray and think and bring it to God, just God gives you breakthrough after breakthrough. Piper says, I don't mean that God spares us hard work. I mean, prayer can make your work 5,000 times more fruitful than you can make it alone. Express your God dependency through prayer. And finally, be generous. Act justly, love mercy. Paul says to the Corinthians, who were a little bit slow in generosity, who had said, oh yeah, we'll give to this need we have in Jerusalem, but didn't come through. I said, oh yeah, we'll give. And then when the time came to give, they kept their wallets in their back pocket. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Friends, a Christ-centered, God-glorifying church is generous with its money and its resources. It gives to support the work of the gospel in Nauru and through mission to the ends of the earth. And it's been exciting to be part of a generous church that is giving to local ministry. It's great to rejoice in the missionaries being supported. You know, Sam Oberly met 100% this week. A big donation, a good donation from the Mary Blade and Christian Fellowship to get her over that line, to support her overseas. She is going. That was another $37,000 she had to raise, right? All coming mainly from brothers and sisters in this church. When Emily Woods went to Burkina Faso, again, mainly from men and women in this church. So I know that you are giving not simply to our regular offering, not simply to our May appeals, but you are giving to individual Christians as well. Like the Sleemans and others who have gone to other parts of the world. And I say, what a wonderful thing that is, because when you know Jesus and you live for his glory, it causes you to be generous. When your boast is Christ and Christ alone, when you are prayerful, you are immersed in the word of God, and you know that life is precarious and you don't know how long you have, you want to invest your resources in the things that matter for eternity. But friends, our example is Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Paul says to the Corinthians, by the way, remember Jesus, who left heaven to come to earth. Even though he was rich, he became poor. More than that, he suffered and died on a cross for us, that through his poverty, we might become rich spiritually. Look at Jesus. A Christ-centered, God-glorifying church concerned for justice and the poor. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. James 1 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Friends, we seek to be a church that shows mercy and acts justly in a variety of ways, through personal relationships as we love people, through food hampers in a soup kitchen, through people visiting at the Villawood Detention Centre, as we advocate with local members of parliament for a better and more humane process for asylum seekers, by advocating for increase in aid and development in the Australian budget, which has been decreasing time and time again, knocking on the doors of parliamentarians and say, listen, that's not good enough. And yesterday morning, I met with a whole bunch of politicians and Christian leaders in this region at the Mortdale Oakley Baptist Church with a group looking at MICA Australia, seeking to increase aid and development. And we're saying to the local politicians, there are great needs across the globe, and a little bit of money from us can serve the poor. That's why we sponsor so many children through Baptist World Aid. That's why we are the largest, or the church supporting the most number of children of any Baptist church in this country in Baptist World Aid, because we believe that God cares for the poor and for the suffering. That's why we do Christmas appeals. That's why we have one of the largest supporters of Samaritan's Christmas Child Program. Friends, that's why we come up with newer things, Bibles for the Persecuted Church, because we believe that when you're in Christ, it causes you to be generous as God was generous in sending Christ to die for us. 10 things. Now, I could have gone to 20, but you needed to go home. But you need to know there are 10 things that drive me, 10 things that I think are core for us as a church. And in conclusion, these words by John Piper have been a great inspiration to me and an opportunity to refocus all the time. He says, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. When you find that Christ is your everything, Christ is your boast, you then live in such a way as glory goes to God. If your satisfaction is in something else other than Jesus, glory doesn't go to God. And so every year, more than once a year, I ask the question, am I satisfied in Jesus? Is he my satisfaction? Is Jesus enough? Because when he is, God is most glorified in me, and God is most glorified in you too. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for just this wonderful picture in your word about the things that really matter, the things that are on your heart, and the things you've put on our heart. Lord, I ask that you would so fill us with your Holy Spirit that we would live for the glory of God above all else, relying on the grace of God, the power of the Spirit, as we live for you. Lord, do your work in my life, I pray. Do your work in our church for your glory. Amen. Friends, can I encourage you to take out a response card? Maybe you never filled out a response card before. Yeah, it had at least 10 things on there. There may have been one thing God said to you, or inspired you, or challenged you, or redirected you. Why don't you take a moment and say, hey, this is what God said to me this morning. Oh, this is what God impressed upon me this morning. This is what I'd like to pray for this church this morning. Take a few moments, just write that down. If you're visiting this morning, there's a visitor sign. And just tell us you've been visiting. We can't make contact with you unless we can get your details. We'd love to ring you up and drop in and visit or have coffee, whatever we can do to help you know Christ and grow in Christ. But take a few moments to fill out those cards or put it on that SMS number, 0416907969. Save some paper if you do it that way, and we get straight into our computer. And I would love to talk to you about anything about your own spiritual life, walking in Christ, growing in Christ. But let me say again, as I step down, I've enjoyed being your senior pastor for the last 19 years. It's a joy to still be here and to start that 20th year of ministry. And I'm looking forward to what God will do in this next year, seeking his glory in all things.